chapter 13. I'll have to preach to you pretty fast, but I wanted to share that with you. They were three promotional videos. I thought they were all great. The singing is unreal. It's nothing like you think it sounds good on the video. You ought to be there in person, man. I mean, you'll just see men weeping openly. You can't hold back. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. And the Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to you in prayer and ask for your presence, your power, Lord, your conviction. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts today. Lord, put this service up to you once again. I pray for that one that may be here lost, Lord, not sure about their salvation. They get that matter settled today, Lord. And I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that we'll be right with you, Lord, and in your sight. And we thank you for all you're going to do. Thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Out with the Old, or I have in parentheses, or Why Should I Repent? And I want to talk to you about that. Why bad things happen to good people? Sometimes people ask that question. And some people think, and particularly the Jews of that day thought, that if bad things happened to you, that was because you were an evil person, or that you had some kind of sin, or maybe even a hidden sin in your life. But Jesus taught the crowds, and Jesus said there that, listen, bad things happen to good people because we're human beings. That calamity can happen to anyone just because of that. And that being killed or not being killed is no means or in no measure of a person's righteousness. That death was the common denominator for everyone. And Jesus said in verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so the topic that I want to talk to you about this morning and preach on today, and the question that I want to address is this, is can you separate repentance from salvation? Can you separate repentance from salvation? I'm going to talk about the whole thing, and I'll answer the question towards the end. Or at what part does repentance have in salvation? I looked it up. Repentance is repeated or mentioned in the Bible 105 times. This may surprise you. Repentance is mentioned 45 times in the Old Testament, 60 times in the New Testament. The Greek word metanoia, it means to think after, to think after. And it has to do with the mind. It has to do with a change of mind. We're going to look at today, I got several little things today of people that repented or groups of people that need to repent. And we'll see what the Bible says about it. It's by no means exhaustive, but we'll see a few things about it and the word repentance or how it's referenced in the Bible. One of the ways it's referenced in the Bible or what it has to do with, number one, is in reference to God. In reference to God. The first occurrence of the word repent involved God and not man. Now that may be a surprise to you. Genesis chapter 6 said this, after God saw the wickedness of man, he said in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. 37 times the Bible in the Bible, repentance is used into reference to God. Now, we said metanoia means a change of mind, or that where somebody would change their mind about things. And so we see here that God changed his mind. Now, I want to say to you about that. It's kind of a deep subject, but God doesn't change his mind the same way you and I change our mind. We change our mind because we're not sure. God doesn't change his mind because he's not sure. God changes his mind because some chain of events took place that caused him to change what he was about to do. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, when David had sinned in numbering the people, God sent an angel to destroy the people. And then the Bible says that the Lord repented him of the evil that the angel was about to do, that the Lord, he changed it, what he was about to take place there. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11, God said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he hath turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. See, so what happened was Saul changed his mind about following God, and God changed his mind about Saul being king. You see how things can change? You know, God may have a plan or a design or a mind or a thought, and he does, on our life. But when we change our mind on following God, God may change his mind on that plan that he had for our life. The difference between God and man in regard to that is that God never changes his character. Now, see, when we repent, that's what our repentance is all about. You know, it's our character, usually, that needs to be changed. Our mind needs to be changed. Our heart needs to be changed. God doesn't have to change his heart. God doesn't have to change his character. Doesn't need to. He never needs to repent of wrong like we do, and that's the difference. And so I'm bringing us to the next point in reference to man. The first reference of repentance in regard to man, and it was God speaking. It was in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God would not lead the people through the land of the Philistines, because he said that. He said he knew that when they saw war, that they would repent. In other words, they would change their mind and return back to Egypt. God said, if I take them through the land of the Philistines, and they're going to see that they're going to have to fight. You know how we do. if there's any effort involved, that stops us pretty much dead in our tracks. They're going to have to fight. He said they will repent. They will change their mind about leaving the land of Egypt, and they will go back into the land of Egypt. And I'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. In reference to nations, the Bible says that there's nations that need to repent. 1 Kings 8:47, which goes with the whole chapter actually, said if the nation repented, if the nation of Israel repented, that God promised that he would hear. You know, and what it is when a nation's thinking, what a nation needs to do is have its thinking line up with God's thinking. You know, we're living in a nation right now, a nation that needs to repent. We're living in a nation that's mind needs to change about some things, and the nation's mind needs to line up with the mind of God. We're living in a nation that needs to change its thinking about abortion. We're living in a nation that needs to change its thinking about homosexuality. We're living in a nation that needs to change its thinking about evolution. You know, there's some repentance that needs to be done with our nation. You know, remember when Jonah, old Jonah, God wanted Jonah to go to preach to Nineveh, a nation. And Jonah didn't want to do it. And God changed his mind. Not his mind, he changed Jonah's mind. You remember how he did it? He got him out on a ship. Jonah went 1,000 miles in the other direction. Jonah got on a ship and God got him, a storm arose. And he finally, Jonah knew it was because of himself. He said, you got to throw me over the side. God had him swallowed up by a great fish. 3 days in a whale's belly. You know, what are you doing in there? I always think of the Andy Griffith episode where Gomer was sitting on with his head under a bucket. And Andy said, what are you doing in there, Gomer? He said, thinking. He said, what you thinking about? He said, about how easy it is to think under this bucket, you know, with my head in a bucket. You know, I could ask, Jonah, what you doing in that whale's belly? Thinking. What are you thinking about? How easy it is to think when you're in a whale's belly. You know, how easy it is to change your mind about something. When Jonah got out on the ground, guess what? His mind was changed. Back to Nineveh. He repented of what God wanted him to do. And he went back to Nineveh, and guess what? He preached. God had said, and I forget the amount of days, it wasn't long, I think like 100 days or something, maybe less, don't quote me on that, but it was a certain amount of time coming up, and he said that, you know, I'm going to destroy this nation, this city. Jonah preached. They repented, and God changed his mind. Hey, God changed his mind. Now, years later, 100 and some years later, I think it was, maybe that's where I got that figure, 125 years, I think, later, there was judgment on Nineveh because they quit repenting, fell back into that. But there's nations that need to repent. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus told the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, if the works that were done in those cities had been done in Tyre and Sidon, he said they would have repented long ago. Jesus said, but they refused. Now, in reference to Christians, you know, Christians need to repent as well. Already saved, but they still need to repent. And there's some things that need to change their mind about, which is what repentance means, and agree with God on. Huh? Need to change your mind about pride. Need to change your mind about anger. Need to change your mind about attitudes. Need to change your mind about unkindness. Need to change your mind about rudeness. Need to change your mind about disrespect. need to change your mind about being unloving. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, I could stand here all day and give you a list of things that Christians need to change their mind about. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. The Bible says, and Paul wrote this. He said, "For I fear lest," and remember, this is after the cross, after Pentecost, all that stuff. "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath." Remember, he's writing this to a church, which it ought to blend right in. "Debates, envyings, wrath, stripes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." See, there's some Christians right there, and Paul said, listen, they need to repent. And I'm afraid that they won't. When I come back, I'm afraid I'm going to find that they have not repented. Another group of people is churches themselves. 8 times in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus told the churches to repent. In Ephesus, he said, you know, he said, "I got someone against you." And if you look in there, I'm not going to turn to it, but if you look there, you'll see. He said, he told that church at Ephesus this, that they had left their first love. He gave them some commendation. He said, "You've done some good things," but he said, "I got somewhat against you. You've left your first love." And I want you to see this. They didn't lose their first love. They left it. They did it purposely. They did it, you know, on their own. They left their first love. And they had gotten cold and indifferent and distracted. And Jesus said, repent. There was consequences of that. And he said, "And except ye repent, I'm going to remove the light of their candlestick," which was the light of their witness. "I'm going to take your witness away from you if you don't repent." That was to a church. And the church at Pergamos was told to repent of the sin of holding on to false doctrine. They had somebody in the church that was preaching false doctrine, and they were leaning or clinging to that. And he told them to repent. Jesus told the church at Thyatira to repent of fornication. And if they didn't, he said they would be cast into, except they repented, they would be cast into great tribulation. The church at Sardis was told to repent of the sin of neglecting the word, rejecting the word, and defiling themselves with the world. At the Laodicean church, they were told to repent of lukewarmness, indifference, stagnation. Man, he said, listen, if you don't repent, he said, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth if you don't change your mind about these things." See, the believer's life in Christ is a lifelong repentance. It begins with repentance, and it continues in repentance. Let me ask you this question here. Are you a repenter at heart? Are you a repenter at heart? When the word is preached, or when the word is taught, and when you are convicted, what do you do? That's how you answer whether you're a repenter at heart. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He said, "Lord, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you." And then the Bible says that when the cock crowed, that Jesus looked at him. He got convicted. And the Bible said that he wept bitter tears of repentance. He wept. He went out and he repented. It didn't take him long either to repent. The Bible answers the repentance nature of all true believers in the instruction on church discipline in Matthew chapter 18. It says that a man, is talking about a Christian man, a church member, if he is unwilling to repent at the love and rebuke of the church, that he should be considered a heathen and a publican. Considered a heathen and a publican if he refuses to repent. See, repentance is necessary. Repentance is required. And a publican's a tax collector. This time of year, that's always a popular thing. I don't know if you can get called anything lower than a tax collector. Hey, amen. When we get ready to fill those papers out, we'll be feeling the same way. Amen. So the question here, and I got this in the next point, is repentance required for salvation? The key Bible teaching is yes, that repentance is necessary for salvation. And I'm going to show you that with a question right here in a minute. 3/4 of the time that repentance is mentioned in the Bible, it's dealing with salvation. John the Baptist's message was repent. Jesus' very first message that he ever preached was repent. And when Jesus sent the apostles out in Mark 6:12, he says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Now, I know some people are going to say this, that the theologues are going to sit around and say, yeah, but you know, John the Baptist and Jesus' first message, he hadn't gone to the cross, he hadn't died, Pentecost hadn't come, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given. All right, well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Pentecost had come, and the Holy Spirit had been given, and it was after the cross, and it was during Pentecost, and guess what? The message there, when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he preached, repent. The Jews said, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what must we do? And he said, repent. That's what you got. And be baptized. Peter said, repent and be baptized. Well, what about baptism? What does baptism show? It's one of the things it shows is repentance. It shows that you changed your mind about the things in God. Paul preached in Acts chapter 17 after Pentecost. Acts chapter 20 and Acts chapter 26. And he preached repentance in every case. Acts chapter 17, 30. He says this. And the times of their ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now I want to talk to you about some things about what repentance is and what it's not. Now first I'm going to tell you what it's not. Repentance is not penance. Penance, I don't know that we practice it. Some religions do, in some parts of the world they do. But penance would be where somebody got convicted of the sin they did, and what they would do, they would do painful things to their self, trying to make atonement for their sin. Some people would take whips, and they would, you see it on TV, National Geographic, watch that. They take them, and they whip themselves with back. Some people have even carried crosses. Some people have let themselves be nailed to crosses like Jesus did. But I want to tell you something. Sin is not paid for by penance. Sin is paid for by death. And that was by the death of Jesus Christ, and he shed his blood for our sins. And so we cannot atone for our sin by doing a penance. You can't receive Jesus Christ without acknowledging you're a sinner. And Luke 15:10, Jesus said there was joy in heaven. Listen to this. Joy in heaven over one sinner that what? That repenteth. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. In Luke 16:30, remember the rich man in hell. And he went and he said, listen, he told Abraham, and he said, send Moses or send Lazarus to my brothers and preach to them so that they don't come to this place. What was he saying? He was saying, I know that they need to repent. I know that their lives are not what they need to be, and something in their life needs to change. And he knew that was required. So penance is not repentance. Repentance is not reformation. Reformation is this. We just had the first of the year, the new year, right? Everybody makes New Year's resolutions. We're going to do something different. We're going to lose weight. That's a big one. Anybody here say they were going to gain weight for the new year? Where's Damien at? He probably ought to have made that. anybody going to gain weight? When we say we're going to lose weight, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But you know, you can turn over a new leaf, or you can say, listen, I'm going to do better. Judas tried to reform. He went back and he said, listen, I shouldn't have took this money. It's a bad deal. But he just got caught and that was it. Listen, you can reform without Christ. You can turn to human means. Listen, and I'm not condemning any of these human institutions. They've done some good things. But let me say this. You know, alcoholics can turn to AA. And AA can help. That has and does help people sometimes. Drug addicts can turn to the rehab centers. A sinner can turn to a psychologist, and people that decide that they just got a bad life can come to church. But none of those, you know, in most cases, that's not what anybody in those categories needs. What those people need is they need Jesus Christ. That's what they need. They need a salvation. They need Jesus Christ. Listen, true repentance does lead to reformation. True repentance leads to a changed life, but reformation itself, apart from Christ, is not repentance. Amen. Repentance is not just sorrow for sin. Sorrow for sin is part of repentance. But listen, you could be sorry for sin and still not repent. The Bible says that rich young ruler that Jesus talked to when he dealt with his covetousness, and I'll talk about that in a second. When he dealt with that covetousness, it said that he went away sorrowful. He was sorry, but he didn't want to give up his money. He had a love for money more than he had a love for God. Some say, listen carefully. Some say that the only sin to be repented of is the sin of unbelief. But that's a dangerous thought. And I'll tell you why. Because people come forward in churches all the time and they want to get saved, but they have no conviction of sin. And see that, and that's where I see a problem today. Oh yeah, all you got to do is believe, man. Listen, all you got to do is just repent of not believing in Jesus Christ. And so they come along and they say, you know what? I got all this sin in my life, and I can just come and add Christ to my life, but I don't need to repent of doing anything else. That's a false teaching right there. It's a dangerous teaching. And it's one of the reasons why we have a powerless and a carnal church today is because that there's so many people that have tried to come to Christ without any repentance in their life. They just wanted to add Jesus Christ to one more part of their life. And so it's a dangerous thought. Jesus said in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's the reason he came. He's saying right there the reason he came. When Jesus dealt with that rich young ruler, you know what primarily he dealt with him about? Yeah, he was lost. Yeah, he needed to be saved. But Jesus primarily, when you look at that as a whole, dealt with that man's covetous heart. That's why he took him in the direction that he took him. He really wasn't telling him, look, you got to sell all, give all your money away and all that to get to heaven. What he was saying is you got to deal with where that money has its place in your heart. He said, that's what you've got to deal with. You know, when you think about this, and a lot of us are like this, you know, we've prayed for our loved ones and we've talked to our loved ones and we say, listen, you need to get saved and get saved. And you know, how many of you got loved ones? You've been harping on them for years where you're trying to get them saved. They won't get saved. Yeah, lots of you. You know why they won't get saved? Because they know down in their heart that if they get saved, that God is going to deal with them on a particular sin in their life. And they love that sin and they don't want to get rid of it. And so even the lost person knows that repentance is part of salvation. They're convicted about that in their spirit. Now I asked you this. I said I was going to ask you a question at the beginning to show you that repentance is necessary for salvation. And this is the question right here. If a man was an idol worshiper, a worshiper of false gods, and he wanted to be saved, would he have to repent of worshiping those false gods in order to trust Jesus Christ? Yes, he would. You can't be a worshiper of a false god and be a saved person. He'd have to repent of doing that. Now, I want to say this about, and a lot of people get repentance wrong, and this goes hand in hand. A lot of times we think of repentance as the act of quitting doing something. Now, if I had the power to quit doing something apart from Jesus Christ, I wouldn't need to repent to start with. See, I don't have the power. You understand me? What did I say the definition of repentance is? A change of mind. See, what it is it's when a man changes his mind. See, because when I was a lost man, listen, I sinned. I know you find it hard to believe that, but you know, it's true. Like everybody else. When I was a lost man, listen, I sinned. And I could sin and not have no conviction about that. I didn't have a mind like Christ. I hadn't had my mind changed about what was sin. That's the biggest problem we got in the world today. You know what the biggest problem is? The world don't think nothing's sin. Huh? The world don't think abortion's sin. The world don't think of homosexuality sin. The world don't think that public nudity or promiscuity or premarital sex or living together, all that. The world don't think it's sin. What did I say repentance was? What the Bible definition of repentance? A change of mind. It's when you change your mind and you say, you know what? I'm thinking like God's thinking. This is wrong. Amen. Now, you don't have the power to do anything about it till you get saved. But you change your mind, and it goes hand in hand with being saved and asking Jesus Christ to save you. Give you a little simple little illustration. There's an old farmer, and he was a Christian man. And a guy goes out to him, and he said, you know, we'll just call him Joe. I hope you don't mind, Joe. You're not a farmer. He says, Joe, he said, what do I got to do to be saved? And old Joe said, well, he said, what you do is see that hog pen over there? Joe said, and the other boy said, yeah. He said, why don't you go out there? He said, you got to wallow around in that mud. He said, man, I ain't wallowing around in that mud. He said, that's what you got to do. Guy leaves. But God kept dealing with him. God kept convicting him about being saved. And he went back. He said, Joe, tell me again. He said, what do I got to do to be saved? He said, you got to go out there and see that hog pen. You got to go out there and wallow in that mire. Wallow around in it. He said, man, I don't want to do that. But God kept dealing with him about it. And he finally went back and he said, all right, man. He said, Joe, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to get saved. I'm going to go out there and waller in that mud. And the old farmer said, all right, you don't have to do it. He said, I thought you told me I had to do it. He said, You had to be willing to do it. Huh? You had to be willing to do it. And see, what happens is when our mind changes, and we can say, listen, I got sin, I'm a sinner, and I can't do nothing about it. Listen, and we call on Jesus Christ to save us, and what he does now, he gives you the Holy Spirit of God, brother. He gives us the Word of God, and now you got the power, in you to stop. Amen. Just to stop. You changed your mind. Is repentance necessary for salvation? Yeah, you got to change your mind about sin. You have got to change your mind about sin and get your mind lined up with God's mind. And that's part. Yeah, sin. You've got to deal with sin. Let me ask you this in closing. What's keeping you from coming to Jesus? I've dealt with so many people over the years. I dealt with a lady one time, and sometimes you've probably been there, I've witnessed to people, and I really couldn't feel the Holy Spirit working necessarily. Now, I was dealing with a lady one time. I think, Stanley, you might have been with me, and man, I could really feel the Holy Spirit of God convicting this person. I mean, it was like, and I could tell that there was a war raging in the room. I could tell that Satan and God, and man, and I was like, and I was, you know, trying to say everything that God was putting on my mind. And I said everything, man. I went from Genesis to Revelation, I think. And this lady said, I'm not ready to get saved. Man, Ichabod over the door. Man, I could feel God just depart. And I thought about that. Why would anybody reject salvation? Because they know God's going to deal with them about their life. God's going to deal with them about their sinful life. And they didn't want to give it up. It's the only reason. We had a man one time, I've shared this with you before, that was dying of cancer, had cancer, was eating through his spine. Got him on his deathbed, me and Derek Benson, man. And I said, buddy, I said, you know what? You need to get saved. And the guy said, man, I'm not ready. I just went off, man. Probably got in the flesh. You're not ready. I just, you know, I mean, I didn't want to be harsh. I didn't want to be cruel. But, man, I mean, listen, we got to get down to brass tacks. I said, buddy, you are dying. You are dying. If you're not ready, what are you going to do to get ready? How long before you're going to be ready? What do you mean you're not ready? And he told me this. He said, I can't tell you why I can't get saved. I got a cold chill run over me. I looked at Derek. I said, let's go. And we left. A guy died 3 weeks later. I think in his case that God had dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him, and he rejected. He said, no, I'm not ready. And guess what? He wasn't allowed to get saved. I mean, God was done. That's what keeps people from getting saved. They know that repentance is part of salvation. They know it in their heart. You got to change your mind about your thinking about sin and change your mind about your thinking about God. What keeps you from coming to Jesus? Is there something you need to change your mind about and repent and come to Him today? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.